Ladies and gentlemen, now hosting the RizzoCast, put your hands together for Steven Risotto!
What is going on, everybody, and welcome. My name is Steven Risotto. I cover the San Francisco Giants for SFA, and I'm the host of RizzoCast, the podcast that features current and former big league players, coaches, fans, media, and others who are regarded as some of the brightest minds around the game of baseball. Today's guest is Jesse Pierce, an infielder and outfielder for the University of Nevada Reno Wolfpack team. As a senior last season, Pierce shined, being named to the All-Mountain West second team and led the Wolfpack in pretty much every offensive category, including batting average, home runs, and runs scored. He finished second in a bunch of categories as well. And despite being one of the best players in the Mountain West, Pierce's journey hasn't always come without some bumps and bruises. Once the top-ranked player in the state of Nevada in high school, Pierce was a D1 commit at Arkansas before the COVID-19 pandemic shut down his freshman season. He bounced around two separate junior colleges, including one in the Bay Area, before finding UNR. We discussed his upcoming season at Reno, taking on a leadership position this season with the team, going from the highest of highs to almost quitting baseball, refinding that passion, so much more. It's a great conversation. This is episode number 163, and let's get started.
All right, and we are back on RizzoCast. Another episode, and we are entering February here, the middle of February now, and we are now joined by Jesse Pierce, and Jesse is nice enough to hop on the podcast. Jesse, how's it going? Welcome.
It's going great. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, and I mentioned the middle of February because this is kind of where things get a little bit exciting, not just for you, but I guess for the entire baseball landscape. And it's that time of year where we just watched the Super Bowl, and a lot of people in the Bay Area, and I know a lot of people that listen are from the Bay Area, are kind of, you know, grueling off that 49ers Super Bowl defeat. Did you get a chance to watch the Super Bowl? What were your Super Bowl plans, and I guess what did you think of the game?
I thought it was a great game, honestly. A bunch of teammates and I, we all got together and watched it together as a big old group. So it was fun. A lot of chirping back and forth between us and fun and games. But I was rooting for the 49ers as well. Obviously, I played in San Francisco for a little bit. So have a little bit of loyalty towards them. And they were in the Super Bowl that year as well and didn't end up winning it. But I was definitely rooting for the 49ers.
Did you guys get the over-under for the Taylor Swift, the times that Taylor Swift was turned to on the camera or the Gatorade color?
The over between us. Like, we obviously were not allowed to sports bet or anything like that. So we were hammering the over. We were taking just every time Travis Kelce touched the ball, we were like, where's Taylor? Where's Taylor? And there, sure enough, there she was.
Yeah. I was at a party too, and there was a Taylor Swift that was number one on the drinking game stuff. But really funny that that a lot of people had the over-unders on that. And the Gatorade color, I know, is the popular one. The national anthem time. It's all over the place. But, tough loss for the Niners. But the end of the Super Bowl means that it's baseball season. And we're recording this on February 14th. And the day we're recording this, a lot of teams in the big leagues had their pitchers and catchers report. So I guess in nationally baseball world, I guess it's kind of baseball season. What does this kind of time of year mean for you?
It's just kind of, I mean, I've been ready to go since this last season ended. I mean, this is just another day, but definitely getting the excitement, packing your bags tonight, cleaning up the locker room, making sure all your gear's in order. Don't want to forget anything, but really excited to go out there and play the game with my guys and really like our team this year, and obviously love the coaching staff here, and I'm really excited. I just couldn't be happier to be back on the field again.
Yeah, and I want to ask about that because obviously you guys open up here and you guys have a California trip starting up at UC Riverside. That's opening day on Friday. And what do you like about this Wolfpack team? Because I was on a different podcast with Jake McKinley, your head coach, and we'll get to him in just a second. But he seemed very excited about this group of players, and you kind of alluded to it just now. But what is kind of, you know, the team looking like this year, and what are you excited about most for the Wolfpack?
I think we made major upgrades in just about every part of our game. Really mature team, a lot of older guys, a couple grad transfers came in this year, a couple D1 bounce backs and junior college guys that are just old and mature and just been around the game. Our pitching side is phenomenal. Not a lot of guys with D1 experience, but I don't think they'll be phased at all when they get into the game. A lot of powerful arms, a lot of low nine to mid nine stuff. And then offensively, same thing, just kind of really matured. A lot of guys last year that played and got quality innings as freshmen or even sophomores are ready to roll this year and just kind of kind of get back into where we left off.
So you're excited about the California trip, huh?
For sure, for sure. It's luckily the weather hasn't been too terrible here, but I would never complain about going to California to play baseball.
Absolutely. I want to ask about you a little bit because, you know, obviously you I guess are regarded as one of the top players on that team, and I'm sure even with that being said, there's still some things that you wanted to work on this offseason. After a really good year last year, and I mentioned in the intro that I recorded before you came on, the some of the numbers that you put up. Is there anything in particular this offseason that you kind of wanted to either tighten up a little bit, get better at a strength, get better at a weakness? What was kind of the plan this offseason for you?
So yeah, I talked with my hitting coach, Jordan Gutzelman, who I absolutely love. Just kind of really wanted to cut down the strikeouts, honestly. I hit for average. I hit for power. If I can cut down the strikeouts and be a little more patient and take my walks and understand when I'm not going to get pitches to hit and kind of just be patient and understand that the people behind me that I have support and I have guys that I trust behind me that are going to drive people in. Definitely for sure, I think both those numbers will go up and the chase rate will go down and the strikeout rate will go down. And then defensively, I'll be playing a lot of first base this year. Kind of want to just be a rock for all my infielders, even outfielders if they need to cut to home. Just trying to let them know that you can spike a ball if you need to, or you can give me a tough hop and I got your back and I'm going to pick it for you. So definitely a defense side of the ball and then cutting down strikeouts for sure.
So the pick game is strong. That's good to hear. Is strikeouts, because I want to ask about strikeouts, because strikeouts, like in the big leagues, we know about the three true outcomes that's kind of come into the game, and it's kind of like do damage with a pitch that you could do damage with. And strikeouts have kind of flown under the radar in terms of, you know, the worry in baseball, and front offices don't really care that much as long as you're, you know, hitting extra base hits and taking your walks. Is that kind of something that, and you mentioned you want to cut down on it. Is that something that's frowned upon at the college level, or does it just kind of depend case by case in terms of strikeouts?
I think it kind of depends on where you're at, like where you kind of play, like honestly, where you play at school and stuff like that. Like if you play at in a conference like we do with a lot of high altitude and a lot of extra base hits and power numbers, you can afford a little bit more gamble. You can afford a little bit more strikeouts because you're gonna hit the doubles, you're gonna hit the extra base hits versus a UC Riverside, for example. Ball doesn't fly there, it's a big yard, and they're probably not gonna want to strike out as much. And so that's kind of the same for me is the being in this conference, the extra base hits, the power numbers are going to be there regardless. So if I can limit the strikeouts, then every other number kind of increases.
Yeah, some of the ballparks in that conference were are just brutal in terms of,
For
like, I
sure.
mean, I'm sure we're gonna look back at a lot of the pitching numbers throughout that conference, and they're just gonna be insane, high ERAs all over the place, but guys with good stuff, but just some really
Exactly.
high altitudes, and
Very good stuff. And sometimes you just get unlucky. Wind
yeah.
blows out the wrong way one day, and you're looking at a 5 ERA through 3 innings, and kind of you're just like, well, I had good stuff today. I don't understand. And it's just how it goes in this conference.
Exactly. Second time through the order, the fastball doesn't land for strikes anymore, and it's landing 410 feet away. Do you guys play at Army, right? Or I didn't look at the schedule, but there's one ballpark where it's just like insanely high altitude. I'm forgetting which one it is though.
Air Force.
Air
It's
Force, that's what it was. Yeah.
7,000 elevation.
Yeah.
Which
Ball out for that. That one should be fun for a
I
lot of
know
the hitters on the
we didn't
team.
get to go. We didn't get to go to Air Force last year. They came to us. So every year in the Mountain West, one team doesn't visit you, and you don't visit one team. And so last year we didn't get to visit Air Force, unfortunately, and San Diego State didn't get to visit us. So this year we don't visit San Jose State, and then Fresno State doesn't come to us. So it's kind of a lot, but Once you figure it out and kind of understand it, it makes sense.
Yeah, the Air Force game, I'm gonna definitely check the box score for that one because I'm expecting some big power numbers, and I'm sure there's some downside with playing in altitude too, high altitude. It's like you wake up in the morning, you probably don't feel the greatest,
Definitely.
and a lot of the spin on the pitches is different, and the off speed maybe is abbreviated, but should be very interesting. And I guess one of the things also is, you as a kind of an older guy on the team, and you've had some pretty extensive college history at this point. Do you feel, I guess, the need to take on more of a leadership position, especially, last year too, and this year? How has that been, for you to kind of develop into more of a leader at this point in your career?
I just kind of think that being able to be as steady as I can for my teammates, whether they're the same age as me or whether they're a freshman at school, it's kind of the same thing. And I love helping out my teammates. I love being able to share the knowledge that I've learned. And it's like baseball has given me so much. I want to be able to give what I can back to the game. Like even when I was a freshman, just talking to older guys that are now big leaguers and guys that have had success at higher levels and picking their brains and learning from them, it just like really made me appreciate it. And they weren't stingy with their information. They wanted to help me just as much as I wanted to learn. And so I'm kind of in the same boat now as whereas I've been, like you said, I've been to multiple schools. I've played in different conferences. I've played at different levels. I just want to share my knowledge with them and kind of help them gain a grasp because there's things that I learned as a freshman that have carried me to this point, and I still do day in and day out. So I don't mind being in a leadership position at all.
For sure. And I'm gonna ask about a goal because I know some guys have long-term goals, short-term goals for this specific season. And I know the main team goal is to obviously win the whole thing, but do you have a personal goal or any personal goals that you might want to set for yourself for this season?
Definitely. There always has to be personal goals, and so I got left off the Mountain West preseason team and that kind of stung a little bit. So that one, there's small goal number one, and then bigger goal, obviously sign a professional contract and continue playing the game that I love so much. Just need an opportunity. And then as far as team goals, obviously make the conference tournament, win the conference tournament, go play in a regional and represent the Mountain West, wherever that may be. And then from once you get in a regional, anything can happen. And so for personal goals, I just kind of want to be where my feet are and not kind of like, because this could potentially be my last season playing baseball. And so with that, the biggest goal that I have for myself is just to truly enjoy it and enjoy who I'm around and enjoy my teammates and everything else that comes with it.
And I talking with Jake McKinley, and I myself, and I'm on another podcast with my friend Tyler Hall, and Tyler is good friends with Jake. They grew up together, and he was telling us a little bit about the Bobby Dolan dinner that happened, the 39th annual Bobby Dolan baseball dinner. And there's a special guest that spoke to the crowd, I guess, and to spoke to you guys. Hunter Pence was there, former Giant, two-time World Series champion, an All-Star a few times. What was kind of the message that Hunter, who is a extremely high energy guy, what was the message that he delivered to, you guys as a team, and what did you kind of take away from being around him?
Yeah, Hunter was awesome. It was really cool to just get to talk to him and kind of understand like why he played the way he did and who he played for and kind of stuff like that. And so a couple of takeaways from him was he just loved the game so much. Like he never wanted to stop playing. And so he literally would just talk about burning the field down with passion and going out there 150%, whether I hit a ground ball to the pitcher or whether I hit a fly ball over the center field fence, my effort stays the same, my attitude stays the same, and just playing for the guy next to you. And I really appreciated that because he's a big leaguer. He's had World Series championships. He knows what it takes to win at the highest level, essentially. And so hearing him talk about kind of humility and humble and things like that, like it really stuck with me and a lot of my teammates as well. And so I think we couldn't have had a better guest speaker at the Dolan dinner, which was a lot of fun. So,
Afterward, did he make you just like want to run through a brick wall?
oh, it was amazing. He was talking to us, and I was getting fired up already. And he's just as animated as ever. His facial expressions are off the charts, and He's just firing us all up before we eat food. And I'm like, okay, I'm ready to eat this steak right now. Like, come on. So it was good.
Exactly. How do you like your steak done? Controversial question, but it needs to be asked.
Medium rare, a little bit more on the rare side.
Okay, that's the correct answer. Good.
Perfect. Perfect.
You're not going to get blasted for that one.
No, not at all.
Yeah, sticking with Jake, because Jake's kind of an interesting guy, you know, talking with him, and I'll link that episode, you know, wherever people listen or watch. But he was dropping like Mario Kart like things on us and Mario Kart
Yeah.
mindsets, I guess. Like, is he kind of quirky in that way? What's it like, I guess, playing for Jake McKinley? Because he's got some pro experience working in the front office with the Brewers. He's been at Nevada for a few years, but what I wanted to play for him after that interview was done. So, I mean, what's it like playing for Jake?
It's amazing. It's like he's the best coach I've ever had in my life. I absolutely love everything about how he runs a program, how he respects his players, how he treats his players. And it's just, you show up to the field and you just want to play for him and you're happy to be at the field. And like you said, like he eats, sleeps, and breathes Nevada baseball. There's not a day in his day or second, or there's not a second in the day where it's not like, how can I be better for my guys? Or like, what can I do to make our team better? Or put us on a better path to success. Like the Mario Kart thing, he was playing Mario Kart with his, I think it was one of his old roommates or his old buddies. And he was losing. And he was like, why am I losing? Like, what is going on? He's never played this console before. And so he kind of referenced that to the new data of baseball, the new analytics, the new rules, like the pitch clock and the pickoffs and all kinds of stuff like that. And he's like, you just have to be able to adapt if you want to have success. And like, I would have never thought of that. I would never put two and two together like that. And so for him to just be able to do that and create a crazy PowerPoint presentation and kind of stuff like that. And then on Mondays he'll bring in very successful people, whether they're within Reno or from wherever, and they're called Mentor Mondays, and kind of speak to us about what it takes to be successful, the sacrifices you have to make, but also like the journey, to enjoy the journey and stuff like that. So I love Jake. He's been amazing to me. He's always asking me how I'm doing, how my family's doing, and I just think that stands out to me the most, is he truly cares about his players, and I think that's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool, and probably preaching that, you know, even if you get hit with the red shell, you got to keep driving, you know. So,
Exactly. And so we reference, like, I don't know, if you're in first place and you get hit with the flying bomb, like you're gonna get back on the track eventually, and who knows, you could still win. So like, don't give up. And even like, this is his favorite one. He says this all the time, is if you just stay on the track, you don't use any power-ups, you stay out of the way of red turtle shells, and you just stay out of your own way, you're gonna be all right. And so that's kind of how we go about business here.
I want to play for him so bad. that's pretty awesome. And like I'm sure it contributes a little bit to the cool atmosphere that you guys have. And you know, not just with Jake, but you probably have like there's a bond with your teammates. And I saw that you had retweeted or tweeted a picture of you guys hanging out in the snow. Like, what is that bond like?
Yeah.
You know, take us inside like the relationship between a college clubhouse, a college baseball clubhouse, and you know, the way in which you guys hang out. The closeness, the close-knit group, because you know, a lot of times you're spending more time with them than you are you know, for a lot of guys, they don't see their family. They only see their teammates, and the teammates become the family. So talk about that kind of relationship that you guys all have.
It's the same thing. It's amazing here. Jake does a really good job of bringing in good people and good fits for the program. And so as soon as somebody shows up in the locker room, they're family. And that's how we treat everybody around here. And I think that's how it should be wherever you're at. And so the dynamic between the guys is, it's all fun and games. There's bickering, there's bantering. And of course we get on each other all the time, but it's to make us better. And so just to kind of speak to that, is after last year, obviously you can hit the transfer portal if you would like, or go to junior college or whatever you want to do. And not a single person entered the transfer portal. Not a single person transferred out. Everyone had to come back and play for each other and play for Jake again. And I just think that's a testament to Jake and the culture that we're building here at Nevada. And that's kind of where it is. Like in the snow day, I got a roommate from Southern California. I have a roommate from Texas who have never really seen snow like that before. And so as soon as the snow came down, we were like, all right, let's go, let's go. So they texted all the guys. Like, we have guys from Iowa, or New York and Hawaii, and we were out there having snowball fights and ended up building a big old snowman on the pitcher's mound. And like, that's the thing about college baseball is like, those are the things you're going to miss the most. It's not going to be whether you beat so and so on February 18th, or it's like, remember when it snowed and we went to build a snowman on the pitcher's mound? And so that's kind of the dynamic here. It's like, let's go have some fun. It was an off day, obviously, because it snowed in, and we still wanted to be each other, even though it was an off day.
Yeah, the random, like the random 3-2 or 3-1 pitch ground ball double play doesn't matter against UC Riverside at the end of the year. So you just gotta keep on driving with, even if you hit the red shot, whatever. I'm turning into Jake
Yeah,
now.
there you go. There you
Yeah.
go.
And I guess like another aspect of that is like the academic side, and I've kind of wondered this because obviously me not a college athlete, but being kind of around and talking with college athletes the last few years, there's the academic side of it that kind of goes overlooked, and how hard I guess you have to work off the field. And you're gonna be in California for like quite some time coming up here this next week. What happens with your classes, like? Is it just solely online for those few weeks? How do you get prepared enough to kind of do the other off the field stuff when you're away playing baseball?
So luckily I am in four online classes and then I have one in person. And so I'm only missing technically one class. And with that, the professor is super helpful. I gave her my travel letter and she helps me out, like, hey, this is going to be due this date and you need to get this done by this. And it's a good relationship between professor and student athlete. And then just kind of time management, honestly. There's a lot of downtime at the airport. There's a lot of downtime on the plane, even in hotel rooms. Like, we're going to be in Riverside. I have no friends or family in Riverside. Like, I can just be able to kind of lock in the hotel room and get some homework done. But it's a grind for sure. But it's nothing nobody can handle or nobody can't handle. So they make it
Yeah,
really easy.
no, for sure. I've wondered it. I was like, God, I mean, how did these guys get any like work done? And they're still somehow all eligible to play baseball. And it's like you never really see them in the classroom, but behind the scenes there is some work going on. So that's really cool. I wanna kind of go back to like where it began. Like where did Jesse Pierce kind of learn baseball? When did you kind of develop the passion for the game? And I guess how did you get into the game? When did you start playing?
So my mom is gonna love this story. She's been wanting me to tell this story forever. And so ever since I was born, my family is like super sports oriented. And so I always had a bat or a ball in my hand of any sport or any kind, like baseball, soccer, basketball, football. It didn't matter. And so my mom was helping coach with the T-ball team, and you had to be like 5 years old to play T-ball. And I was probably 3 or 4, wasn't 5 years old. And my mom lied that I was five so that I got to play. And so I started playing at the youngest age possible. As soon as I can run, I was on a baseball field, and it kind of took off from there. And I played every sport you can think of growing up. I went to a private school where we had like volleyball, basketball, swimming, tennis, track, cross country, and I did it all. Like, I just love sports. I love competing. And I don't know, I just felt like baseball was it. And so I got to high school and I was like, okay, I kind of like this baseball thing. And I ended up playing soccer and baseball in high school because soccer is in the spring or in the fall and baseball is in the spring. And so my freshman year of high school, I started to kind of get a little bit of Division I attention. And I was a bigger kid. I was like 6'2", 6'3", as a freshman in high school. And so the projectability was there apparently. And so I was talking to schools and I was like, okay, wow, like this might really be a thing for me. So after my sophomore year, I was like on varsity, all that kind of stuff, and wasn't really doing anything like nationally. And I was like, Mom, like I got to go to a showcase, like I got to do something. Like, this is all these guys are telling me to do. So we drove to Phoenix, Arizona, and did a perfect game showcase and had a good weekend. Did like all the metrics and stuff. I got my first readings and started talking to a little bit more schools. And a guy by the name Chase Brewster had seen a report on me or something from the weekend. And he texted me and said, hey, We need a player next weekend for the PGMOK tournament out in Arizona. You were just back here last weekend. Any chance you'd want to play for us? And without even hesitating, I was like, yes, I'm in. Like, please, this is the opportunity I've been waiting for. And Chase, if I don't know if you know who Chase Brewster is, he's very popular in the travel ball community, and he's just known for always having an absolutely loaded team. Like, guys from all over the place. Great guy, love Chase, and just absolutely talented players throw up and down the lineup. And so there was nine, there were 20 or 21 kids on this roster, and 19 of them are Division I commits.
Wow.
And I'm a sophomore. I haven't even played my sophomore season of high school yet. And so I'm like, yes, just get my name on this roster. Like, just show that I'm like in the group with these guys. So I go up there, and I was pitching at the time. I was a two-way guy at the time, and we won the first game. And me and a kid named Tristan Lively, who pitched at New Mexico, ended up throwing a combined no-hitter. So that was cool. And then I got three at-bats all weekend in like eight games. And Chase Brewster felt terrible about it. He's like, I'm sorry I brought you out here for three at-bats. And I was like, no, I'm so appreciative that you even looked at me. And so I got three at-bats. I think I went one for three. And that, like, I was like, okay, like, I've peaked. Like, that's pretty cool. And so then nothing happens. I play my high school season, and high school season goes well, and start talking to a little bit more schools, and it starts to pick up a little bit. And then I'm playing for one of our local guys at in a tournament in Arizona, and I hit a walk-off home run, and this video resurfaces on Twitter, and it's like kind of blowing up a little bit. And so sure enough, Chase Brewster texts me like right after the video blew up and was like, hey, I got a team going to Georgia. Would you like to play? He's like, it'll be different from last time. I promise you're going to get your opportunity. He's like, I really like you. You're a great guy. Like, you took everything that happened in Arizona very well. He's like, do you want to come play for me? And I was like, Mom, we got to go. Like, and she was like, done. I support you. We'll get on the plane and we'll go out to Georgia. And that's kind of where like I kind of came into my own. I was facing guys like that were draft guys. We played Matt Liberatore that weekend. We played Nolan Gorman that weekend, who are big leaguers with the Cardinals. We had great guys on our team, and I had a great week. And from then, that's when like the bigger schools started to come in, like the Oklahomas, the Arkansas, North Carolina, Florida State, like the bigger schools. And so I was like, okay, we can see what happens here. And I was dead set on going to North Carolina. Like, that was my dream school. It's what I wanted to do. And I made it down there, did a camp there, and it ended up not working out. I didn't get any offers and stuff like that. So I was just devastated. And so I played for Brewster one more time later that summer. And he's like, hey, like, what do you think about Arkansas? And at the time, I had no idea anything about Arkansas. I just knew a couple of my teammates from Brewster's team were going there. And so I did my research, and I'm like, holy crap, these guys are really good. This would be an amazing opportunity. And he's like, okay, they're going to call you tonight or whatever. And so they called me, like, hey, we want you on a visit. And so I took my visit my sophomore summer, ended up falling in love with the place, absolutely. It was never a doubt in my mind that I was going to go to Arkansas after that weekend. And so I ended up committing to Arkansas. Right before my junior year of high school started. And so once I was committed, it was kind of like really my name's out there. I'm committed to a Power Five school, the top program in the country. And then the MLB attention kind of picked up, the draft stock started improving. And from that point on, I was on Brewster's team wherever he went, whether it was in Florida, whether it was in Jupiter, Florida, whether it was in the WWA in Georgia or the MLK in Georgia. And he kind of took me under his wing, and I appreciate him for it. There's another guy, Dirk Kenny, that was up there with him a lot. And he's a scout for the St. Louis Cardinals. And without those guys, I wouldn't be where I am today. And so I was even in Brewster's wedding a couple years later, just because the impact that he had on my life. So I thought that was pretty cool. But senior year of high school comes around, really ready to go to Arkansas. Thought there could be some potential draft things. And, there ended up not being anything. Nothing worked out. I ended up going to Arkansas for my freshman year and absolutely loved it. Was around some great guys. Heston Kerstad was a big leaguer for the Orioles. Matt Goodhart played professional professional baseball with the Phillies. Casey Martin, same thing with the Phillies. Casey Opitz, Kevin Copps, a Golden Spike winner. Just being around Dave Van Horn, the list goes on and on. The program is amazing. I have nothing bad to say about the program at Arkansas. And then, unfortunately, COVID happened. So I didn't get to play my freshman year. I took a redshirt or COVID year, whatever you'd like to call it. So after that, I transferred to junior college out in Grayson, Texas, or Denison, Texas, and went to Grayson College. And I had a decent year there. Kind of was like feeling sorry for myself a little bit, kind of falling out of love with the game. And then ended up playing that year at Grayson and then transferring to another junior college. And I had just completely fallen out of love with the game. Didn't like showing up to practice, didn't like showing up to the field. I was in the middle of nowhere, so far from home, and everything was just stacking up on top of each other. And so I ended up leaving for Thanksgiving break and didn't go back. I hung the cleats up and I was like, it is what it is, kind of thing. And so I'm home for a month and I'm sitting on the couch one day and I'm doing absolutely nothing, just feeling sorry for myself. And my mom comes home from work one day and she's like, I just can't even look at you anymore. Like, you need to go play. Like, you're going to regret this for the rest of your life. And so she was like, do you know anybody you could play for? And I was like, I have no idea. So I called every single person in my phone, texted any friend that I had. And it just happened that summer, I had played in the Northwoods for a guy named Marcus Pointer, who was a pitching coach at Skyline College where you went. And so I called Pointer and I was like, Pointer, can I please walk on? Like, I don't even have to play. Just let me sit in the dugout. Like, my mom is furious with me. I'm not doing anything at home. Like, just let me sit in the dugout. And so it just kind of worked out that way. He ended up talking to the head coach, Tony Brunicardi, and a hitting coach, Anthony Granato. And they're like, yeah, bring him in. Like, it's no harm and stuff like that. And so I was again, back playing baseball. And so played that season at Skyline. Just one of the best years of my life. I had such a great experience at Skyline. I owe everything to Marcus for even giving me a chance there, and had the best team season in Skyline history, won the conference for the first time outright in school history, made it to a super regional, had good success there, like made friendships that'll last me a lifetime. And they helped me get on to the next place. And Pointer is actually the one who put me in contact with Jake here at Nevada. And so from then ended up getting a scholarship here to Nevada. And from then, it has just been pure fun, pure bliss. Played last year, kind of a down year for the team, but that's what makes you better. You learn from it and stuff like that. And so this year, I'm ready to rock and roll. And that is my baseball story from start to where we're at now. I would say finish because we're not done yet. But
yeah, not done yet. That's really incredible. And I want to pick apart some of that. I want to talk because I think that's a great success story about the showcases, and there's a lot of people that are like down on the showcases. And a lot of people that think, you know, and granted there are some of them that are only used to be fundraisers for certain schools, but I think Perfect Game's legit. I think there's a few other legit ones, but what would you tell, you know, a young player who is in high school, who's looking to get noticed? And I know a lot of the old heads kind of go, well, if you're good, they're going to find you. But for a lot of guys, you know, maybe that's too good to be true and they need to go to these Perfect Game showcases. So like, what would you tell someone who was in your shoes as a, let's say, high school sophomore about who, you know, a guy who might be on the fence about going to one of these showcases?
I think one a year is good, because if you go every couple months, your numbers aren't going to be that different. You're not going to change that much physically. And so I went to one a year. And then once I went to one my junior year, or sorry, one my sophomore year, that the one I was telling you about. And then I went to another one after, trying to make the PGA All-American game. And so I just think one a year, because it's good to have data on you. Data is not going anywhere. Data is more relevant in baseball than it ever has been. And so if you think there's a tool that you have that stands out, whether you throw hard, whether you have high exit velocities, whether you are very fast, I definitely think getting out there in front of people where it's going to be posted on the internet, and you never know who's going to run into it on the internet. So I definitely think picking one a year for a showcase is very, I think it's a great idea.
And it's funny because, you know, the picture, the perfect game, like the pictures, the little profile, they stay there forever. I mean, I was doing research and I'm like, oh, there's the perfect game picture. Like everybody's got that picture of the perfect them at, you know, the perfect game showcase. Even like my pitching coach in high school, who's come on this podcast, Tom Harlan, he was a Pittsburgh Pirates drafty, came up with Jameson Taillon, Glasnow, Josh Bell, all those guys. And his picture's still up there from when he did the perfect game showcase. So Jesse, that's gonna stay up there forever. Just want you to know
I
that.
know it. Yeah, it's okay. It's a little bit shaky, but we gotta live with it. We can't change it now.
Yeah, it's like the terrified 16-year-old, just
It's
like
exactly what it is.
deer in headlights. It's gonna be up there for a bit. And another thing you mentioned in that bit was, you know, falling out of love with the game. Like, you know, and COVID kind of put a wrench in a lot of people's plans, and I'm sure it did some things to your eligibility. It did some things to probably your mental health. And mental health like never used to be talked about in sports. It used to be a stigma. I think it still is a stigma, but you know, maybe it's you know, growing the opposite direction where, you know, guys could talk to people and teams and programs have different people that are available to players. And how did you kind of get that mental strength back to, I guess, gain the desire to message everybody in your phone book, God, what am I, 80? Contact list. And how did that like mental strength come back?
My mom is my rock. My mom is my best friend. And so even when I was at my junior college, I was calling her every week, like, "Mom, I want to come home. I want to come home. Like, I don't like it. I'm not happy here." And she's like, "Nope, you signed up for it. You're finishing it. We're not quitters in this household. I didn't raise you to quit anything." She's like, "You are tough. You can handle it. I know what you're capable of," kind of thing. And so when somebody tells you that over and over again, you start to believe it. And when I'm sitting there on the couch and I'm doing nothing all day and she's going to work providing for me and my brother every day. And you kind of like sit back and reflect a little bit. And she just sparked it. I was like, she's like, "You know, you're not done playing yet." And deep down, I knew I wasn't. I knew I had more to give. I knew that I would be sitting talking to my grandkids one day, wishing, "Man, I wish I wouldn't have quit." And my mom knew that. And my mom knows how to get the best out of me. We push each other's buttons all the time. And just being her being able to kind of know where I'm at, know when to push, know when to pull back a little bit. She brought me out of it. And now life can't be better. And my mental health is amazing and just super thankful for her for sure.
And in Mario Kart terms, you took the bullet train back. The bullet.
Exactly. We were in last place. We caught a bullet and now we're heading towards the top.
Exactly. And I guess another part of that is like, you know, an Arkansas D1 commit and then, you know, eventually a D1 fallback. And speaking of stigmas, there's certainly stigmas around junior college. Like, you know, everybody wants to play at the D1 school, everybody wants to play college baseball. And I don't think a lot of people understand the value of junior college. And, you know, if junior college guys transfer to a 4-year school, I always like whenever I watch, like, you know, I go to SF State now, if I'm watching a San Francisco State baseball game, I could identify the guys that went to JUCO. There's just a grittiness to them. There's a whole JUCO bandit philosophy and I guess identification that people identify with nowadays. But were you going through kind of like an identity crisis during that time initially, where you were like, man, I had it all. I was a D1 fall. I was a D1, you know, Arkansas commit. I was there, and then COVID happened, and now I'm here. How long did it take you to attach to junior college and realize its true value?
Yeah, it was something special for sure, 'cause I went from, like you said, the highest of highest, playing in the SEC, playing in the Division One program where you're treated like a champion no matter what happens, to going to the JUCO where it's, like you said, 6 hour bus ride to go play a 16 inning doubleheader to drive 6 hours later that night. And JUCO saved my baseball career. I owe everything that I have to junior college. I wouldn't be playing here at the Division One level. I wouldn't be playing here in Nevada. I wouldn't have met so many great people if it wasn't for junior college. And so I definitely think that the big schools are all glamorous and nice, but I think you need to go where you're wanted and where people will help you develop and people will support you, whether you go 0 for 4 or you go 4 for 4. I think the people aspect of junior college is just phenomenal because we're all in the same boat. Nobody's on a crazy scholarship. Nobody has a crazy NIL deal. We're all waking up at 4 in the morning to go drive to wherever we have to go play. And you just kind of learn how to compete. Like nobody's giving you anything. You got to earn it. You got to take it. And so being it with those guys in junior college and just kind of grinding together, it creates a bond and a passion for the game. Like I fell in love with it again. And I, like I said, JUCO baseball saved my career for sure.
Yeah, and I went to a few of those games, and it felt like every time I went, there was like a Jesse Pierce multi-homer game. It was insane, and especially like you get the fog at Skyline College, and it's just like, it's hard to see, and I don't know how you guys did it sometimes. It was pretty insane. That field got really cold and foggy sometimes.
Yeah, no, I have the best times of my life at Skyline. The guys there are amazing. I posted something on my Instagram story yesterday. It was just like an old picture of us after one conference, and not a single f person from the team didn't like it. Like, I'm still in contact with all those guys. The guys are my friends for life, and Anthony Granato, Michael or Marcus Pointer, and Tony Bernicardi. Like, those guys, like, they literally, like I said, saved my baseball career. They took a chance on me without even knowing my first name. And it ended up being like the well, most fun season for all of us. And so I just, yeah, Skyline was great times. I could talk about Skyline all day.
When did they learn your first name?
When I showed up to the first day of practice after Christmas, they were just like, all right, we got this new kid. Pointer said he's all right, so we're gonna see what he's got, and kind of just went from there. And like that's the thing about Skyline too is the guys there, they were so welcoming. Obviously, I ended up playing and taking somebody's spot, and you would have never known. Like they all just wanted to win. And that's the JUCO mentality of just, all right, my turn to grind. Somebody comes in and takes my spot. It's my turn to push him to be better and push myself to be better. And just a selfless group of guys, a great group of guys. Just everybody there just wanted to win, and it was amazing.
Yeah, no, really cool for sure. And a few more here before we wrap up because I kept you for way too long. But full
Okay.
circle moment, like you're playing back in Nevada. Obviously you're a Vegas guy. What's it like kind of being closer to home? I guess is family more accessible to come out to your games? How has that been kind of playing in, back in the home state?
It's been fun. It's been a blast. I mean, my mom is a diehard Wolfpack fan now, and my brother goes to UNLV, so it's fun. The rivalry's there for sure. But it's definitely nice being closer to home. I have family in Boise that comes down and drives down all the games, family in San Diego. And so San Diego State's in our conference. They come to the games. And just my mom is all about baseball. And so my mom will be at every weekend series this season, home or away, just trying to support and watch as much baseball as she can. And so if I was, let's say, at Arkansas still, she wouldn't be able to do that just financially, just wouldn't make sense. And so last year we played at UNLV, and aunts, uncles, cousins, brother, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, everybody was there. And it was just like the coolest feeling in the world knowing that I have an incredible fan base back home, and so just a support group that truly wants the best for me and will have my back no matter what. So
Yeah, and I guess thinking about it now, I guess Reno is not very close to Las Vegas, but you get the gist. Home state, I guess that was the angle I was taking. I don't know. Poorly written question by me. I actually don't write any of these. No, I have them in my head. No, just kidding. I have some notes. And I do want to ask because the A's are going through the whole thing. What do you think about a team coming to Vegas? And I guess if you want to touch on the A's thing, great. I personally think they deserve an expansion team. They deserve a team to come in there that they could call their own instead of kind of like a hand-me-down team or whatever the A's are trying to do. And there's so many things that are unsolved with that whole process. But do you think that like Las Vegas would be a good place for a Major League Baseball team to play? Or I guess what are your overall views about that?
100%. I mean, the Vegas, my whole childhood, Vegas was craving for a professional sports team. And now we have a couple, we have the WNBA team, we have the Golden Knights, who are the backbone of Las Vegas sports. Now we have the Raiders. And the only thing that I will not like about a professional baseball team coming to Vegas is the traffic it's going to create. Other than that, it's amazing. I'm all here for it. I would love to
I saw the
buy it.
deadlock during the Super Bowl. Like nobody could move in the.
Oh
Why
my
don't you
God.
just walk the strip? I feel like that was a horrible decision to drive or Uber there.
I know it's tough. And well, the thing is, like, the Raiders Stadium isn't even on the strip. It's on the other side of the freeway. So they make it really hard on you. But yeah, I definitely think it's a great place for baseball. It's a baseball town. I mean, you can, like, an endless list of professionals that, like, Bryce Harper and Chris Bryant and Tommy Pham and Joey Gallo, and the list goes on and on. And I just think baseball, or Vegas, is starving for a baseball team.
Yeah, no, really cool. And Tommy Pham, I saw on his Instagram page, he was at the game and he put it on his story that he was there and it was the second quarter. And then he posted in the third quarter, he had his feet up at home. It's like there's some interesting guys that come out of Las Vegas and
Yeah, for sure.
a lot of good big leaguers. Final thing here, I'm gonna ask you five, not rapid fire, but I guess fast five. And you could answer these however you want to answer them. First one here, if you weren't playing baseball, what would Jesse Pierce be doing?
Be a
Loaded question.
golfer.
Okay.
Love to golf.
Love to golf. Any good courses around Reno?
Yeah, we go play a local one called Sierra Sage, and then Wolf Run is a little bit of a challenge. And then if you really want to get fancy, you can go drive down to Tahoe and play those amazing courses.
Yeah, Tahoe's got some really good ones. Is there a favorite TV show that you're binging at the moment?
Favorite TV show is Game of Thrones. I've watched it all the way through twice, but at the current moment, there is no TV show. I'm more of a movie guy, honestly.
Okay, what about a movie? Let's hear it.
Oh, I love, like, I'm kind of a nerd. I love The Hobbit. I love, like, Star Wars and The Hunger Games and all, like, the sci-fi kind of things, and Percy Jackson's. And oh, there you go. I was watching the new Percy Jackson show.
There
So
you
I
go.
finished that one not too long ago.
Perfect. Percy Jackson, all that good stuff. Third one, if you could travel anywhere in the world, where would you go? So free plane ticket, where would you go?
Oh, wow. Okay, I've always said I really wanted to go to Australia. I think Australia would be really cool. I've also really wanted to go to Germany, kind of like I said, a nerd, a big history nut, kind of revisit all the World War II artifacts and stuff like that. And then I'm Colombian, and I have a bunch of family in Colombia that I've never met. And so I think going to Colombia and meeting all my cousins and aunts and stuff would be really cool too.
Yeah, and all the stuff happening in the world today, nobody ever says a bad thing about Australians. So
Yeah.
really funny. Fourth thing, what is your walk-up song?
I have two this year. I had one. My mom didn't like it, so I changed it. So I have a Let's Get It Started by Black Eyed Peas, because I hit lead off. So that'll play Friday nights. And then Bandit by Don Toliver. It just came out, so I'm excited to debut that one.
Really nice, really nice. And there's a friend of mine named Justin Newcomb who has a podcast called The Walk Up Pod, and he brings people on and asks them, their walk up song and the, why they picked it. And when I went on his podcast, and I was a pitcher, so I picked a walk in song, and I went with Light 'Em Up by who sang it? I'm losing it, but
Fallout Boys or
Fall Out
something like
Boy. Yes,
that.
Light 'Em
Yeah.
Up.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, just I'm just imagining, what I would want to warm up to, and that would be it. So, fifth question, final question, what's the best life lesson that you've learned from baseball?
Ooh, there's so many. This game has been so good to me. This game has taught me so much. And I would just say to It's taught me to just truly appreciate the people you're around, and don't take any relationship for granted, and don't ever put yourself above anybody else, because with baseball, the game will humble you like that. And so I think that's the biggest lesson, is just kind of being where your feet are, building those good relationships, and don't ever think you're better than anybody else for any reason.
Really awesome. Jesse, I appreciate you coming on. I have February 23rd through the 25th circled on my calendar when the Wolfpack come to San
Perfect.
Francisco University of San Francisco, not San Francisco State, but I'll try to make it out to those games, and we'll definitely be sure to say hello before the game. But appreciate you coming on, man. Best of luck to you this year, and thanks for joining me for a few minutes here.
Perfect. Thank you. This was a lot of fun. Thank you for having me.
And do you want to plug yourself? Where could people find you? Social media? Anything?
Yeah, sure. Instagram is Jesse underscore Pierce 17, and then Twitter is Jesse underscore Pierce 2. Those are about all the socials I got, but I'd love if you guys would follow me along on this crazy journey. So, for sure.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you coming on, and everybody could go ahead and follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at RizzoCast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, wherever you find your stuff, we are on, and we will see you next time.